Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Behind the Veil, a show that provides insight into the world of weddings and events. I'm your host, Keith Willard. Welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be talking to Cindy George. She is one of my favorite people, actually, here in South Florida, and she is the catering manager for the Surfcomber South Beach, which is a Kimpton hotel. So we're going to get to talk to her about all sorts of things that you should be asking before you book your next venue for either your holiday party or your wedding. So we're going to talk about a little bit of all of it. Not delay. Let's bring on Cindy. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Keith. It's so good to be here. I'm so happy to be here.
Yay. So I know that we've been trying to connect, trying to do this show for multiple weeks. So thank you for your flexibility.
Sure. I'm so sorry you were so under the weather.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, anytime you're around like 150 people from all over the country, not everybody is as clean as they should be. Let's just put it out there, right? So, you know, or as careful about it, because it seems like right now I'm seeing more and more COVID than I've ever seen before. It's crazy.
Yeah. People have gotten the vaccination, so they're just like mask-free and talking and shaking. I was at a networker not too long ago, and it was like, should I shake your hand? Because I'm going to eat this appetizer with my hands. So I was just like feeling a little weird about it, and I'm like, okay.
Yes.
I used to do this all the time, but now I'm more conscious of it. Like, I don't want to shake your hand and then eat an appetizer.
It's crazy. Okay, so before we get into like your current job, you were on the sales side. And so for years and years and years, when we say group sales, I think that the number one question I have is I don't think a lot of couples understand that there are two departments when you're talking to a hotel.
Right.
Right? So yeah. Can you give us a little synopsis of like what the two departments are? Because it's sales and catering. And a lot of people assume that that's one word, sales and catering. And it's like, no, it's sales and catering.
Right. So with the hotel, when you're trying to find a destination, obviously most brides look at the venue and look at aesthetically, is that the setting that they envision that they want to have their special day in? So they start with the catering piece of it. And so, you know, it's called catering, but it's really an event. So at the end of the day, yes, I would be the person that would send you the information about the venue, about the event space, send you your menus, your wedding packages. And then if you decide like, yes, this is kind of where I want to move forward, then if you have a block of rooms, let's say it's a destination wedding and you want 50 rooms for 3 nights, then that's actually handled by another salesperson. And that other salesperson, we work together in conjunction to get you the best rate for your night during your stay. And a lot of it is based on, to be honest, how much you're spending on your wedding. And that's just, you know, it dictates if you're spending $100,000 on a wedding, well, then you're probably going to get a nice, healthy reduction in price on your group rooms. If you're spending $10,000-$15,000 on a wedding, it's a little bit different story. So that's kind of how hotels look at it. I've been in events and catering for over 10 years now, been in sales my whole life, but I just love hospitality. And I love the event side of the business. So I really don't, group rooms and block rooms don't excite me. The events and the wow and the flowers and all that excites me. That's something I'm passionate about.
But it was interesting because I come from the world of hotels. And so, you know, I always found it fascinating that I would get this kind of comment from a bride. It's like, well, we're spending all this money. So why aren't we getting a better rate? It's like, well, you are actually getting a better rate. It's just, you don't really see it. What's in your head and what's reality are two separate things. And I think that's sometimes very difficult for couples to understand.
Right.
Is that, you know, it's a business, right?
It's a business.
As much as we love in the catering world to be all about love and joy and warm hearted and give me a big hug. Well, before COVID, you know, now, but on the sales side, it's very cut and dry. It's a business relationship. It's here's your 50 rooms at, you know, $420 a night. Plus, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
And if I can add on the backside of that, even that group sales manager that is negotiating your rooms, they don't even have the final say. They have to actually put in a business case to the revenue manager, who then dictates, who looks at everything, what happened last year, what the historicals are. There's a whole, like, it's almost like a rocket science in a way to figure out what your rate's going to be. It's not just like they just pick a number out of the sky. That revenue manager looks a lot of analytics to determine that room rate. And we as event managers, we're looking at it from, we want you to have your special day. So we're going to fight for you to get that special room rate. Whereas a revenue manager, just like you said, it's strictly about the dollars and cents, red or black. What are we doing?
Right. And I actually always called it like Tetris almost, because it's almost like they're trying to fit in all the different groups to get the most money per room possible, because their whole job is to increase the profit margin for the hotel. That is their They do not think about, oh, how are we as far as our social climate? Do we, you know, are we in the hearts and minds of our guests outside of having a great experience? It's like, well, no, they're here to make money. And I think that's something that I have to explain to couples all the time. It's like, it's a business relationship. And this is one of those areas. Mm-hmm. It's a contract. It's a contract and it's legal. And we need to walk into it with eyes wide open.
And that's where I like to work with wedding planners like you and event planners like you, where you'll say, hey, what can we do to kind of make this an extra special thing for this client? Because if they're paying more in rooms, what can we do on the back end, on the event side of things, just to kind of make it work? Like, can we offer a couple of complimentary appetizers or complimentary whatever? We'll definitely try to throw in some of those items just to kind of overcompensate for maybe not the room rate you were hoping you were going to get.
Well, and it's also, you know, when you're talking about South Beach, and this is actually just came up in conversation with a bride yesterday, because she originally was going to have her wedding in like North Carolina somewhere. And so she decided that she wants to do a destination wedding here in South Florida. And she just was caught off guard with the price difference. And I'm like, because we are a destination location down here. I mean, this is where people come for vacation. So you're fighting against all those vacationers that have a whole bunch of money in their pocket to blow on, you know, their rooms and their food and their beverage and what have you, and the transients, right?
As we
say in the business, transients. So there is a difference in pricing.
And you're also fighting against conventions. We're a huge convention town in Miami, and also Fort Lauderdale. So then you throw that in there, and it's like, you know, corporate business is all really definitely about dollars and cents and less emotional. So then we know that that's, you know, that corporate business is going to yield us a lot more money than social business. Sorry, it just is, because those are, you know, days at a time, repeat business year after year. So you're also fighting against that as well, especially our location at the Kimpton Soapcomer is on 17th and Collins, and we're two blocks from the convention center. So we get a lot of convention business, we have 186 rooms. We're like a nice boutique style hotel, but we have this huge, ginormous backyard. And quite honestly, I'm constantly booking big events for up to 1,000 people. And so if you're competing against that, now, given if your wedding's on a Saturday, Sunday, that's a little bit different, but sometimes we do have Saturday stays where they want to do a corporate backyard finale event on a Saturday before everybody takes off and goes back to their respective hometowns. So that's corporate business is huge too, especially for a destination city like Miami and Fort Lauderdale, when we have those huge convention centers.
And that's important for couples to understand, that there is a give and take in the process, and having somebody in your corner, like a wedding planner or somebody else that is your advocate, to be able to explain things and not have to sugarcoat, because your job is customer service. I mean, your job is to make people feel welcome and to get them in and be like, yes, this is your hotel.
Yes.
You know, my job is to give them the bare facts and say, okay, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. These are the things that you're going to have to look into. One of the, okay, so this is a totally random question. This just came up with a dealing that I had with another hotel, is courtesy block versus contracted block, right? I know, right? Okay. So courtesy block versus contracted block. Can you explain the difference so that way, you know, couples out there can get that kind of in their head?
Right. Most hotels allow our courtesy block of up to 10 or fewer rooms, which we will put on hold for you as a courtesy. You don't have to pay up front. You basically, we hold the rooms for you up until, you know, certain amount of time, up until really it's like 30 days out from your wedding. Contracted block is if it's more than 10 rooms, if you need 30 rooms for your guests, well, the hotel's not going to hold 30 rooms on a wish and a prayer and hope that you're going to have all 30 people book the room. So anything that's more than 10 rooms, we definitely want to contract and pull together a contract where you are guaranteeing that out of those, that you are going to take out of those 30 rooms, or an attritional rate that maybe out of those 30, you're guaranteeing you're going to take at least 25. It really just depends on the hotel, what that contract looks like. But anything over 10 rooms, you absolutely are going to have to put a deposit down and guarantee that you're taking a large percentage of those rooms.
Well, the way I explain it to my clients is like, imagine that you have a shelf full of bread, loaves of bread, and the hotel decides, okay, you said, okay, I'm going to have 30 of those loaves sold for you. And so what the hotel does is they take 30 of those loaves off the shelf, so they are no longer available to the general public.
Right.
And so now they have less loaves to sell, right? And then all of a sudden you come back, you know, 90 days before, 40 days before, and you're like, I'm sorry, I wasn't able to sell them. Then all of a sudden they have 30 loaves of like, what the hell do I do with these 30 loaves?
Right.
And so that's where the contract comes in, because they've got to protect their financial business. And I totally understand that. But you did bring up a term that I think a lot of people don't understand, is attrition.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain what attrition is?
Yeah, basically is attrition your fallout. So Aunt Susie, Uncle Henry, they decide, nope, they can't make it because of whatever reason. That's right. Your attrition. So out of those 30 rooms, you have 10 relatives that fall off and decide they are not going to make it to your beautiful day. That's the attrition piece. And based on your hotel and the way their contract's written, there is a clause in there for attrition that allows for a small percentage, but not too large. Because like you said, we're taking those rooms out of inventory. We're not selling them. Another group could come in behind you and say, we need 100 rooms, but we can't sell 30 of those rooms because we have them blocked for you.
Right.
And so then comes the attrition. Yes.
Yeah. And so the attrition is a forgivable amount, a small
amount.
And I always say it's a small forgivable amount. You're never going to see attrition more than 20%. I've never seen it actually.
Right.
But 10%? Yeah. Even though I've been getting contracts lately that have no attrition, which I was a little surprised at. They're like, nope, no attrition whatsoever. If you go over your block, that's fine. But if you can't go less. And I was like, wow, okay. Welcome to the new world. Okay.
it's getting pretty feisty out there, yes.
It really is. And you know, I think that we're
especially
with COVID, you know, because everybody waited. And then all of a sudden we had this huge influx of clients, wedding clients that came in, and we're still kind of getting through those because there's still a lot of business happening down here and it's just constant.
I'm getting every day requests for 2024, February 2024, May. I just got one come in, May of 2024.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy? I just like, oh, my mind is blown by how how far out, you know. And I think that it's more important to the venue is like the most important thing I think that people need to understand when you're a couple is that you got to book your venue, because everything else is based on that. Your date, your location.
Yes.
Everything else is going to be then based on that. So your venue is the most important thing and must be booked way out. You've got to book it way out.
Correct.
Yeah. Because a lot of people are like, oh, really? Do we really need a year and a half or a year to plan our wedding? I'm like, no. But you do need it in order to make sure that you have your venue that you want.
It is the frame of your entire wedding. You may base your dress off of the venue.
Yeah.
You may all your decor off of the venue. We're located, like I said, on the beach with beach access. You have to get a permit from the city of Miami Beach to have a beach on the beach wedding, but our backyard has a beachy vibe to it. Very tropical, very lush with lots of greenery and so forth. So depending on where you have your venue, where your venue is, you might want a beachy type wedding dress. You might want to change your entire theme when you walk into a venue. I've had a bride say, I was going for this theme, but now I see this venue. I see your venue. They completely change up their entire theme based on the venue. So very good point. I know.
It's crazy. So, and then, okay, now, because you love events and I know you because we have a mutual friend and we've always been catty when we meet in person and always have a really good time and you throw the best parties. Oh my God. The last one that we went to at the Surf Coma was next level.
That was seafood, South Beach Seafood Fest, seven course, eight wine pairings, 250 people in our beautiful backyard.
It was incredible. It really was incredible. It was next level. When you're talking to couples, right, that are coming in for the first time, what are some of the questions that you wish that they would ask? You know, is there anything that you go, you know, or you make a point to explain? Let me put it that way. That you're like, okay, I know that you're all in love eyes and it's all fresh and you've got a lot coming at you and you're all super excited. But when we talk about the business part of it, you know, what are the things that you feel are important that couples should consider and keep in mind?
I definitely want to make it clear in relation to the guest count.
Yes.
So this is And I learned this because I kind of got myself in a little bit of trouble once. But, you know, once you kind of make that mistake, you're like, nope, that's not happening to me again.
Never again.
I'm going to make sure I'm crystal clear on this. So when you're hosting a wedding and you're like, it'll be around 300 people. Let's just, you know, say 300 people. Right. And then as the day comes, oh, only two. And you guarantee, you sign the contract for 300 people. Based yep. on your food, your beverage, and you're saying 300 people. And then as the day gets closer and closer, your RSVPs are looking like, oh, it might be more like 200 people.
Right.
And so the thing about that is once you guarantee a guest count, that's the number you're contractually bound to. Yep. And so we are going to charge you for 300 people because we've ordered food and we've staffed for 300 people and we've accounted for those dollars for 300 people
in your budget.
So, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So even if you know, usually 2 to 3 weeks out, I'm reaching out, getting a guest count and you tell me, oh, it's looking like only 200 people. What can we do? We really can't do anything. I'm sorry. You contracted for 300. So I always tell not only brides, couples, but corporate, let's go low on that guest count. And if you feel very confident, you'll at least have 200 people, then I'll guarantee the guest count at 200. We can always add on later. It's better that we add up than you get stuck with the bill for 100 people that didn't show up. So not all event planners will do that. They'll grab the 300 and think commission. No. I don't want you to be unhappy because for me, your reputation is everything. So for me, it makes makes more sense. I say, let's lowball you.
Yeah.
And then as we get closer, I'll provide you with what that number will look like at the end of the night if you get up to 250, 300. And then you can make the decision to cut off your guest
count. I agree with this because I always tell people, I'm like, look, you can always go up, but you can't go down. So, you know, sign the contract. And I love this because everybody goes, oh, but everybody's going to want to come to my wedding. And I'm like, yes, everybody does want to come to your wedding. But are they able to? I said, those are two very different worlds. I said, want and able are very different worlds. And you need to think about able. You know, it's like not everybody can afford to come down. Not everybody can leave their ailing parents or a sick kid or obligations on jobs. I said, you know, people's worlds are crazy busy right now. So, you know,
and they may have every intention of going, but things happen. Yeah. Life happens. So again, let's lowball that guest count. And then, and if it's starting to get over that 200, it's starting here. I'm happy to run the numbers for you. So you're not sticker shocked at the end of the wedding.
Well, and I'm like, okay, don't too lowball it.
Right.
because hotels have minimums. So can you talk a little bit about minimums? Like, you know, because I think this is sometimes difficult for couples to understand that ballrooms, depending on the hotel, will have a minimum food and beverage revenue attached to it. And and people are like, well, why can't I have this ballroom for 30 people?
Yeah.
I mean, we in the business understand that. We totally understand that. But, you know, how do you, you know, minimums come from, basically? And I have a feeling it comes from that salesperson that's doing Tetris and getting the most for their money. But, you know.
It comes from the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain who we never see, right?
Oh,
the revenue 100%. Manager.
Yes.
So, and this, again, social and corporate, same thing. Oh, I love this space. I've got 30 people. Well, the space can hold 150. Right. So that doesn't, I know you love the space, but you really don't have enough people to fill up the space. And what that revenue minimum means, it's basically saying in order to rent this space, you have to guarantee that you will purchase a minimum of, let's say, $10,000 in food and beverage.
Right.
So a lot of times, for example, our backyard, it's huge. It can hold up to 1,000, sometimes 1,200 people. It's beautiful. When somebody comes to me and says, I want to do a wedding for 30 people. I want this backyard space. Okay, that backyard space, just the where you had dinner, the sandy area, for a wedding can hold 250 people. So they equate, when we close down that backyard space, we're shutting off revenue dollars in our hotel because that space is open to the public. There's a restaurant back there. So you're asking us to close down the restaurant that feeds the pool, it feeds the beach, it feeds the cabanas. So we're shutting off that revenue for your wedding. We need at least X amount of dollars for it to be worth our while. So weddings that come to me that are 30, 50 people, I let them know if you like that space, you can have it, but this is the minimum that you'd have to spend.
Right.
And most of the time for the smaller weddings, when they see that backyard space and they see the dollar amount that's attached to it, they'll say, okay, yeah, that's a little bit out of our price range, which not obviously, but for 30 to 50 people. Yeah. I imagine 100, 150, then it makes more sense because if we're doing a cocktail hour and also a nice plated dinner or a buffet dinner, then, and also an open bar, that makes more sense economically for them. But yes,
people that all the time, you know, they're not a charity, you know,
as much as
they would love to host your wedding. And of course, us in the catering world, us in the event side of the world, our job is to please people. I mean, that's our thing.
Yes.
We love to please people. And so, you know, but the hotel is there to make money. They're a for-profit business. And, you know, there are plenty of hotels in South Florida that are beautiful for a 50-person wedding. And they have ballrooms that are built specifically for a 50-person wedding or a 30-person wedding. Mm-hmm. And so there's a real balancing act. And again, this is where an event planner comes into play, because they're not going to show you spaces that are going to be outside of your budget. That's our job, is to kind of dwindle that down, because I don't want to show you a space that's $50,000 for, and you only have $10,000 to spend. I'm like, why would I do that to you?
Exactly. I a lot of times they just see the space because they see it either online or they stayed at the Surf Comer, they saw the backyard and it is an attraction. They're like, I want to have my wedding here because it's so beautiful, tropical, and lush. And I respect that. And thank you. Here's the minimum. And how about this other space?
Yes.
And we kind of go from there.
Well, I also, you know, when you're on the ocean, a lot of people, they see the venue during the day, they look out, they see that big, beautiful ocean. They're like, oh my God, I love this view. This is going to be perfect for my wedding. And I think, okay, but you got to imagine it after dark. Are you going to really see that big, beautiful ocean? You know, are there other places in this building that we can host a dinner that are just as beautiful? Because where are people looking at during a dinner? They're looking at you. They're not looking outside. They're looking at you. Mm-hmm. You know, and then maybe we can do a cocktail reception. Maybe we can do a welcome reception, you know, out there. There are other ways to do it, right?
Absolutely. I worked at another property in Fort Lauderdale, and the ocean views were stunning during the day.
During the day.
At night, just black, nothing. And in that case, you have to have a really nice ballroom that is going to offer, you know, a beautiful space. But it was just black. So I did a lot of luncheons there.
Oh my God. You know, that's what I'm saying. And I go through this conversation constantly. It's like, yes, it's beautiful during the day. I love it during the day, but then at night you don't see any of this. And my other favorite is, oh, the ballroom carpet's ugly.
Oh yeah.
I just want to smack my head every time I hear that.
Yeah.
The ballroom carpet. So my loves out there, if you're planning your wedding, please do not look down. Just don't. Okay.
you might want to ask when the hotel has had a renovation, because there might be newer carpet, newer sconces. There might be some newer things, more modern furnishings for the hotel. So ask when was the last time there was a renovation. If you're looking at something online, because that's key as well. Because yes, the carpet, can't change the carpet. I've had that before. Can you cover the carpet? No.
Well, and the thing is, I tell people all the time, like when you walk into a ballroom, you're seeing it empty. You're seeing it with no other focal except the carpet. So imagine if you filled it completely with tables and linen and florals and dance floor. Nobody's looking at
the carpet.
I've never heard a guest at a wedding go, wow, amazing wedding, but man, that carpet was ugly.
Yeah. Great venue, but that carpet was gross. No.
Right? I've never heard a single person say, oh God, a great event, but the carpet was nasty.
The carpet was gross.
Yeah, the carpet was gross.
Luckily, I don't deal with that.
I know. Carpet. Well, you know, the Surf Comers is one of those hotels that is just so beautifully situated where it's at in South Beach. And that backyard area is phenomenal. I mean, that little cabana, that bar cabana that you have, you mean, it is a perfect for an outdoor event. But let's talk about outdoor events, because you just mentioned that you need a permit to do a wedding on the beach. And I will tell you that a good 80% of my couples that want an outdoor wedding want an outdoor beach wedding. And we go through this same conversation. It's like, okay, let's talk about the pros and cons of doing a beach wedding in South Beach or in South Florida in general. We can't block the beach.
Right.
It's illegal f- for us to block the beach for your ceremony, meaning anybody can walk past mm-hmm. your ceremony while you're saying your vows.
Mm-hmm. That's
banana,
true.
The man in a banana hammock. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep,
absolutely. can walk by and, yeah. and stand back behind you and stare all he wants because it is public property. It's public property. And you and all of state of Florida, all beaches are considered public property. And I hear right. people say, oh, we have a private beach. It's like, well, no, you don't really have a private beach. You have a yeah. section of it that's private, yeah. but people can still walk behind it. How do you, I mean, because it's almost a dream. And mm-hmm. I know I have to be careful when I talk to couples and I have to talk them down off that dream and say, okay, you got to think about sand. You got to think about wind. Yes. You got to think about rain. You got to think about other people. You got to think about your guests. You got to think about, you know, shoes, like they're walking in sand. I mean, are these kind of conversations that you have with couples when they come in and they see it and they're like, oh my God, I love this.
Absolutely. Like, okay. Absolutely. Well, because yeah. like you just said, I want to mitigate any issues later on where they start going, well, they didn't think about those things. They fell in love with everything that they looked at kind of from an eye shot view, but you need to be looking down as well and kind of considering those elements as well. Our backyard area is part sandy, part grass. And I have had brides say, well, can we cover the sand? Actually, you can. We have had events the vendor brought in or the end client brought in a floor and put flooring down. Those are for big, large events. That's something that can be done at the cost of the client.
Right.
So keep that in mind that, you know, that flooring, we can definitely put that flooring down because we have sand back there in our space. And we can cover that floor. However, that's going to be at your cost. And the cost varies depending on vendor. Also with rain, we're in South Florida. So plan ahead and kind of figure out when the rainy months are. And yep. if you want a beautiful outdoor wedding, plan around those rainy months. When it comes to rain, we all know, yes, it rains for 20 minutes and then it goes away, generally speaking. But that 20 minutes could be at the worst time ever. And that could just dampen, no pun intended, your special day. Yeah.
Well, yeah. 5 minutes of rain can ruin a whole day's worth of work. I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's what we're really talking about. What do you say when we talk about, and you brought rain up, hurricane season? What are, you know, we get this a lot in our industry being in South Florida. It's like, oh, what about hurricanes? And I tell people all the time, it's like, look, you can't avoid natural disasters. They right. happen all over the country. They're just different. Sometimes it's tornadoes. Sometimes it's earthquakes. Sometimes it's hurricanes. But at least in the world of hurricanes, we see it and know it mm-hmm. when it's coming. Mm-hmm. We can plan mm-hmm. for it. And it's literally 3 days. You know, God forbid how much damage it does. But it's typically a very small percentage that it's going to come and hit your particular hotel at this particular time during this particular year.
Right.
You know, I say mitigate. You have to mitigate the chances of a natural disaster happening. You know, what is the percentage? And it's low, even in hurricane season.
It is. And luckily, knock on wood, I haven't had that situation at the Kimpton Sercomer, but at other venues I've worked at, it's definitely something that our internal team, we're in constant communication throughout the days and hours and minutes leading up to a potential hurricane hit. Anybody in the hospitality in South Florida knows that you just have to be vigilant. You have to have eyes on that storm, whether it's a tropical storm or whether it's a Cat 1 through 5, you have to be, your team has to all be in sync. We have a chat on WhatsApp where our team is constantly in communication of what's happening with the weather. Even when it's not a tropical storm at Sercomer, we're all in a chat. We do a rain call 3 hours prior to an event to make the determination whether or not we're going to move forward as planned or whether or not we're going to relocate or move that group someplace to an indoor space inside the Sercomer. Or we work and partner with other hotels, or we'll say, hey, can you take this particular event? And they'll take the event because they have a lot more indoor space. So we try to partner with hotels that we have a good relationship with. So if we have to move your special day, we'll move it, but just know that we've vetted them. We're not going to put you at the Holiday Inn down the street. We're going to, you know, this is going to be a hotel that's within our comp set, if you will.
Yeah. So, I'm going to reiterate to the people listening. It's like, you know, hurricanes are a very small percentage of the possibilities here in South Florida. Sure. It really is. It is a small, small percentage. Of course, the media leading up to it, the news stories leading up it are for weeks and weeks. And so it always feels like it's a lot longer. It's a lot worse than it actually is, or has a higher percentage than it actually is. But it really is. But it's on the low side. It really is on the low side. If you look at, you know, natural disasters across the board, not something people really want to think about during their wedding, but you know, once you set that date in hurricane season, you can't help but having your brain buzz a little bit. I tell people, look, you really can't look at a forecast track until about a week before. And even then it's going to change.
It's going to change. I would also say to brides, I would stay away from, although hurricane season is June to November, I would stay away from planning your wedding in South Florida, August and September. Those are the two heaviest months where there's more likely to be a hurricane or a large tropical storm. I've been in South Florida for 21 years now, and really June, July, I don't think I've seen a hurricane in June or July. Maybe one might sneak out in October, but definitely August and September is where we really get the bulk of the tropical storms.
And all couples, not just brides, because, you know, well, brides tend to be a special breed, but, you know, all couples, because it is nerve wracking. It is your special day. And talking about all couples, you know, I know that right now there's a real focus in, especially in Florida, about the LGBTQ+ community. Mm-hmm. And I know that the Surfcomber and you specifically in the Surfcomber have always been very open about LGBTQ+ couples coming in, so that they should not feel afraid. Right.
I mean, absolutely.
They should be able to come in and you're going to treat them amazingly regardless. And I think that's an important message to put out there.
I am so proud to be working for the Surfcomber. When I interviewed and just learning more about the culture of Kimpton Surfcomber, or just Kimpton in general, it's not, I hate to say, I don't want to say it's not just we're accepting, like, oh, we accept it. No. We embrace it. Like, bring, come one, come all. And so I love that about the inclusivity, the diversity and the inclusivity. Those are two things are definitely mutually exclusive. You can be diverse, but we want to include you. So we're at our hotel, you know, we've got, you know, men with their nails painted and earrings, and they're at the front desk, whereas other properties may be a little on the conservative side. No, we embrace everybody. So, and me, myself being an ally in the LGBTQ+ community, I'm 100% here for it. We love everyone, no matter what or who you love.
And I can say that personally, guys. I can tell you personally. I mean, we've had many a night.
Yes.
Having a good time. Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous not to get political what's happening right now. But yes, we are inclusive, diverse and inclusive. And everyone deserves to have their special day, whatever the heck they want it.
Right. And safe and secure. I mean, that's one of the things, is that we always want to make sure that our couples feel safe and secure.
Absolutely.
And I can tell you that Surfcomber for sure is one of them. When you talk about that kind of thing, I mean, how many weddings do you guys typically do in a year? Like, it's got to be a lot. I mean, considering you're in South Beach, or because it's in South Beach, does that tend to deter people?
I think it depends, because maybe one year there might be more weddings, another year not so many. Right. Again, we have that beautiful backyard, but it does come with a price, because that backyard is the attraction. So again, going back to what we talked about, shutting it down to customers or to the hotel guests, we lose revenue unless there's a dollar amount for a wedding that makes sense. So we have that. That's other than a hotel that has ballrooms where you're not affecting or you're not interacting with other hotel guests. Right. So there's that issue element. And then there's also rain. The backyard is huge, but it's not covered. So guests that any couples that have, you know, more than 200 people, I'm letting them know that should your special day call for rain, we really don't have a rainy day backup. Right. So we do a few weddings more along the smaller side because unless it's during a peak season where the rain typically doesn't rain, but rain is a huge, obviously, deterrent for any couple, because who wants their special day to be ruined? So yeah. Unlike other venues, we do a few weddings. We might do 4 or 5 a year, to be honest, not a whole lot, because right. I want to make very, very clear that if your wedding is over a certain size and it rains, I may not have space. A backup unless yeah. we get a tent, and the tenting is quite expensive. Yes, we have trees is. Back there, so we have yes, to get the go around the trees. So now you're adding another element of expense. So.
Love that. So, and then what yes. about holiday parties? Because you know it's not, yeah. not just, you know, because we're getting close to. I mean, I know it's March, but you know, a lot of my clients by July have already started booking their holiday parties, because again, they want to get the best venue for their company, especially now because everybody wants to do holiday parties again, because yeah. we haven't been able to do holiday parties in forever. You know, that I'm assuming that you guys are really starting to get focused on that. Did I lose you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. So,
can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Did I lose you?
Oh, no. I think we're having a technical issue.
Oh, no.
Did we? Oh, no. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. So, so she'll be joining us back anyway. So, that was probably a great place to end, guys. A little bit of a technical issue. So, hold on. Are you there?
I'm so sorry. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Keith?
I can hear you.
I can't hear you.
Oh, no. That's too bad. That's all right. That's okay. So, anyway, so I hope that you are getting some great information from Cindy, because again, she's with the South Beach Surf Comber in South Beach, Miami, which is a Kimpton hotel. And again, she gave a lot of great information about minimums, about contract rates, about you know, what to expect when you're looking for your special day. I think that all of those pieces are important to kind of take into consideration when you're looking for your next event. And again, we'll be back next Tuesday at 2 o'clock for our next thing. Our next guest is actually going to be talking about vows, about pre-writing vows, and about having a professional write vows for you. So that's going to be a really great show. So join us on Tuesday, next Tuesday at 2 p.m. to hear all about that. Oh, wait, let me see. Let's see if she'll be back. Are you back in?
Sorry, technical difficulties.
Oh my goodness. And I was just about to wrap it all up. So no, this is actually perfect. So
okay. What was the last thing you asked me? I'm sorry.
That's funny. If you're listening, hey, by the way, ta-da.
Sorry.
Well, that is the one thing about live, doing it live. You just never know what's going to happen. You just don't.
Exactly.
No, so what I was asking you about is holiday parties, because yeah. you know, right now we're really getting into the idea of doing holiday parties, and finding that perfect space is mm-hmm. really important, especially now after COVID, because everybody really wants to celebrate together again.
Yes.
You know, are you seeing an uptick in holiday parties?
You know, I'm actually getting a holiday party. I just got one about a couple weeks ago. And yes, again, December is a beautiful month because, you know, the weather is just perfect. Very little chance of rain. It's just got a nice warm summer breeze coming in off of the ocean. And again, with that huge space, we are starting to get more increase for holiday parties. What I try to do is try to, again, these are locals, and the local South Beach, that are people are coming over from Miami Beach or from Miami coming over. I try to make it a nice incentive for them to make the trip, because sometimes they don't want to come all the way to the beach because it's touristy and like, oh, that's for tourists. No, no, actually, it's not just for tourists. Let's just make this a special beachy tropical holiday party for you. So yeah, I'm starting to get those increase. And it's nice to be able to book that far in advance and know that, okay, December is going to be full of lots of holiday parties and lots of fun and good times.
Well, it just kills me because, you know, being in South Florida, it's amazing how many times I don't go to the beach. And I'm like, oh my God, I have this big, beautiful beach here that I should be enjoying as much as possible. And I just don't, because I live here. You know, you take for granted the stuff that you see every day.
Every day. And I sometimes walk out in the backyard and I look at the beach and I look at one of the cabanas is elevated, and I'll go up there and just kind of look at the ocean and go, man, I don't like you. I don't go to the beach as much as I should. I'm like, I get to work here. This is great.
I know, you're like, there are worse places to be right now.
You know, it sucks to be me. It sucks. This is my office.
Oh my goodness. So is there any other additional like advice that you you think that couples should be thinking about when booking their next event? Obviously they need to be coming to you.
Go ahead.
Any like last minute thoughts about like, you know, some of the things that we might not have brought up during this conversation that you're like, you know what, maybe this is something you should be thinking about?
Yeah. One of the things, in addition to the weather and the time of year, the weather, your attrition, your, all the things we talked about, the sales manager working with an event planner, you want to feel comfortable with that event planner. And then with the venue, make sure you're comfortable with that sales manager. The sales manager is not your event planner. So if you want a lot of details and things that are leading up to your wedding, you definitely want to contract an event planner. I think it definitely makes sense. It's worth the dollars and cents to have somebody completely planning your wedding. The sales manager like myself, although I'm going to facilitate on the day of and help as much as possible, the other elements of your wedding, you want to leave that in the details of an event planner, a wedding planner, who's going to look out for you, is going to be giving you that one-on-one specific care for all those other little small details. And I work with the event planner like yourself, Keith, to make sure that whatever requests that that planner may think of that you may not even thought of, we work together in tandem, make sure that, again, everything is handled on your special day. So yes, and also want to like and have build a good relationship with not only the wedding planner, but also the sales manager of the venue. If you're getting kind of a cold vibe or you're not really feeling the warm fuzzies from that sales manager at that venue, you might want to rethink that venue, because that could be the service that you get on the day of your wedding.
I agree heartily. It's amazing how many people are like, oh, it's just a salesperson. You know what? We'll sign the contract because we love the venue. It's like, you know, there is a vibe that comes with hotels, and many times the salespeople are just mirroring the vibe that they're getting from other people in that same hotel. So if you're not getting a good response, if you're not getting a response, let's just put it that way. If you're not even getting a response, it might not be the best hotel for you.
Pay attention to those signs, because you want to get that special attention on the day leading up to your wedding and on the day of. And if you're not even getting the attention when you're inquiring about pricing, inquiring about other little things, then that's indicative of how you might be treated on the day of your wedding.
Oh, 100%. And then if you're out there and you need hair and makeup, you got to think about hair and makeup rooms. You got to think about feeding your bridesmaids and your groomsmen that day, because you don't want them sitting in the room drinking all by themselves all day. So you got to feed them, because you don't want any hangry people hanging around you all day. So there are lots of little pieces and parts. And one of the best things about having it at a venue, and actually I want to bring this up, because I actually almost bypassed this idea earlier, is that there are couples out there that are looking at a caterer being at an independent venue that doesn't have any tables, chairs, linen, kitchen, versus a hotel that's a full service, has everything on site. So if anything last minute happens, they have something to cover it.
Agreed.
There's a lot to be said about having a venue that has stemware, glassware, linens, chairs. I mean, because if you're at an independent venue with a separated a catering company, they're not going to have immediate access in those cases that, let's say, that the delivery truck broke down and can't deliver your glasses.
Right.
All of a sudden, and that's happened to me.
Yeah, I know. You've had everything happen to you.
I know. We always figure it out. We always figure it out. But yeah,
you make it work. But you
we make it work. But oh yeah, like, I mean, we had a whole. I mean, you can't really fight against traffic accidents, and so
true.
Yeah, this was actually at the Perez Art Museum, which is actually one of my favorite venues, but it is an outside caterer, and they're a museum. Let's just put that out there. They're a museum. They're not in a venue, so to speak, for a wedding. And yeah, like half our chairs didn't arrive until like 10 minutes before they were going to sit down. But they did.
Wow. Those are those moments where you're about to have a stroke. And you're like, oh my gosh, I hate those moments. But when you pull it off, it's the best feeling
ever. It is the best feeling. And it was funny, because we worked with the band and we actually did an extra long hora. So that way all my staff, all the service staff, and we had security officers running to the truck, unloading the chairs and putting them into place. And so by the time the hora was done, everybody had a seat and it looked
nice.
I mean, that's one of the things about being at a hotel, though, because you have that staff to rely on for that kind of last minute stuff.
Yes. And I would, one more thing I would also add is your a budget. When you're planning your budget, and even though you may love the space, you want your guests to feel like special. And if you're spending all of your money on a beautiful venue, but then you have, you know, three appetizers for cocktail hour and, you know, two stations for your meal, like, and now you're being a little bit, I will say, less economical on the food and beverage and the decor and everything, then that's not allowing for a really wow experience. And that's what you want. You want your guests to have that experience with you. So maybe it's okay if you love a venue and maybe your budget doesn't quite call for that. Don't go cheap on the other stuff just to get in the door of a venue that you like, is basically what I'm saying.
Wow,
I think it makes more sense to like fill your wedding with a great experiences and also have a nice venue, but let's just be conscious of your budget. You don't want a beautiful venue and then a cheap inside with not good food and beverage. You're doing, you know, beer and wine. And yeah, I just think it just makes for a better experience.
Singing to the choir, because I literally I had a conversation with a bride that, you know, because she was researching. And of course my first phone call with couples is not a sales call. It's, I want to hear about what's happening with you. I want to hear about the B word budget, you know? Yeah. And she was looking at, you know, trying to have 200 people at her wedding for a $30,000 budget. Oh, and gosh. I said to her, I said, I don't know if that's going to be really possible unless you decide to do like a park with a pulled pork buffet. I said, but you gotta think about, you know, what that experience is, because really that's $150 per person. And most hotels are going to be at least more than that just for the food and beverage. And then we still have to talk about photography, florals, music on top of all of that stuff.
Yes.
So budgets are important, and number of guests that you invite to is also important. If you're not going to have dinner, if you won't accept going to dinner with them by yourself with just them, and don't invite them to your wedding. And why would you invite them to, if you wouldn't go to dinner with them, do not invite them to your wedding.
I mean, that's just my
own rule of thumb. But yeah, so budgets are big. And I know that you're going to be asked about your budgets. Guys, if you're out there listening, you're going to get asked about your budgets. But it's not because they're trying to suck every dime out of you. What they're trying to do is make sure that everything's going to fit and that your guests are going to have a wow experience. So don't be afraid to have that hard conversation early on in the planning. How much can we spend? How much can we spend? And not how much can we put on credit cards, guys. How much can we actually spend?
Yes, that's very important. I the budget word is so important, because even if you give me a range, just say, oh, between 30 and 40. Okay, then I know where I can go with you. You don't just walk into a dealership and go, oh, you know, I don't have a budget. No, you have a budget of what you're going to spend for that car. You have a budget as to what you're going to spend, let's say, for a gym membership. So there's always that number in your head. Tell me that number. I'm not going to try to max you out. It just gives me an idea of how to put the pieces together to make that budget and make that work for you and make your special day as best as I can with the amount of money that you told me.
And that's funny, because, you know, this conversation that we're just having now, it's amazing how many people avoid this kind of conversation or even talking about this. But it's important. I think it's really important that people understand that the B word is the first thing that you got to talk about. Right after you say, I will you marry me? Mm-hmm. I will. Mm-hmm. The next conversation should be, okay, what is our budget? I mean, give it a couple of days. Enjoy the afterglow.
How much was this ring?
Yeah, exactly. How much was this ring? But again, have that conversation early on, because if you have that conversation, but if you have it early on, then it doesn't become a thing as you get closer to the wedding.
Right.
You know, you adjust your dreams for the dollar amount. It's important.
You have to have it. And I might, let's say, for example, if your wedding, if your budget is a little below than what our minimums are, then you never know. I might say, you know what? Reach out to so-and-so at the such and such property. I know that you can get referrals that way. If you tell me what your budget is and it's not going to meet mine, I'm definitely going to try to help you and say, you might want to try this over here. They have a similar backyard, or they have a similar setup. And I know that their food and beverage minimum is a little bit less than ours. So,
I mean, that's an important thing. Relationships are built here in South Florida. We all know each other.
We all know each other.
Oh my goodness. So, you know, it won't take long for us to be able to get you what you're dreaming of, but we got to know the basics.
Anyway. We got to know the basics. What are we working with here?
Cindy, you have been a joy.
Thank you. This has been fun.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you had a good time, because I mean, we kind of like, you know, we Again, the warm up to it was a little rough. Sorry about that.
We could go on and on and on.
Oh my God, we could. I mean, no, seriously, we could continue to talk. But you know, I just think like after we get to like 45 minutes, my brain starts to go, okay, if I was listening to this, would I be tired of them?
Well, let me just say, I'm so proud of you. I've known you for some years and I'm so proud of you and everything that you're doing and all the amazing, fabulous weddings and awards you're winning. I will always send you business and I just love to see you grow and I can't wait to see what you do next. You need your own TV show, seriously.
Oh my God, thank you, so sweet. That's very sweet. Yeah, that what is it? My face was made for radio?
No, it's not. The camera loves you.
Oh, I love you too. Anyway, so Cindy George, if you're interested, if you're looking for a place to host your amazing event, you need to reach out to Cindy George. Again, she's the catering sales manager at the Kempton Surfcomber. I've been running it on the ticker tape below, but www.surfcomber.com is a great way to go take a look at online, but then reach out directly to her because she's going to make sure that you have a great experience from start to finish. Yay. Yay. How other ways can other people reach you?
You can reach me on Facebook, Cindy George, C-I-N-D-I George, or Instagram, yeah. Cindy George, C-I-N-D-I-G-E-O-R-G-E. Pretty basic.
I love the fact that you got your own name because I did the same thing. Like, yeah. As soon as I was like, Instagram, grab my name. I don't know if I'll ever brand. Use it, but I'll, yeah, brand.
Or LinkedIn, LinkedIn, Cindy George. You'll find me.
Amazing. Thank you again, Cindy.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yay. And we'll see you next Tuesday at 2:00. But for now, we're going to say goodbye. Mwah. Mwah.